And good afternoon, Scott Spears along with you for the ride today, Wednesday, June 19th, 2019, 6/19/19, 2 days away from summer, can you believe it? And just a couple days away from the big July 4th Independence Day holiday, and we have got the perfect guest today to talk about all of those things. Do want to give you a quick reminder that coming up next hour, we're going to be joined by legendary star of the hit TV series Hee-Haw, Lulu Roman. Now, interesting, Lulu has just released her new autobiography, which is out, and this year marks the 50th anniversary of the debut of Hee-Haw back on CBS in 1969. Hee-Haw ran from 1969 until 1992. Lulu is the only cast member still living who was on the original episode back in 1969, and she also was there for the entire duration, one of the few members that was there from 69 until 92, there on the first episode and also on the last episode. And this is important. Lulu joins us next hour, but don't forget, Lulu will be right here in Marion coming up next Friday, June the 28th. She'll be in studio all day with us from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. We're going to have a live radio performance from Lulu, as well as interviews and all kinds of things going on that day, which will lead up to a big book signing at Perkins Restaurant here in Marion next Friday night, June 28th, from 5 until 9 p.m. And you get $10 off your meal if you buy Lulu's book. So all kinds of interesting stuff going on. But this hour, we are joined by a guest who I absolutely love. She joins us every third Wednesday from 12:10 until 1 p.m. And with summer just around the corner, we have to talk about all the things that go on with cookouts and the heat and the changes that are going on. And who better to do that with than best-selling author, the true queen of helpful hints, Heloise. Heloise, how are you?
Well, howdy from San Antonio.
How's your summer? We're about into summer. How's your spring going?
Well, it's San Antonio, Texas. It's already really hot. And what I love, my father was Air Force, stationed at the Pentagon twice. The first time when we moved down here, I'd come back from school, and I'd say, Mother, it's cold in the morning, so you dress me in a sweater, give me a sweater to take, but by 1 or 2 in the afternoon, it can be 90 degrees. So you learn to dress in layers. You can either take some off, not all the way, well, depending if you're at the beach, the river, the lake, you know, or add more, and then you'd wake up and go to school, it was warm. And down here, we call it, I think up there you call it a blue norther, where the wind, where the temperature changes within 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah, that's, well, it's interesting because that can happen a lot here as of late.
Okay, well, and that's what I finally learned because I lived in the East. If you wake up in the morning and it's cold, it's usually cold in the afternoon. But then here, you wake up and it's cold, and by 2 o'clock. So you learn to dress in layers, carry an extra light sweater, you know, scarf or something or other. And I'd come home from school pretty much. And in the South, women don't sweat. Horses sweat. Women perspire. And I'd come home drenched. So, check the weather report, because here, the joke in Texas is, if you don't like the weather, just wait an hour or two and it'll change.
You know, here in the Midwest, we have had one of the oddest springs, which I guess will end here in 2 days, but I don't know how many days that we have had since April where there has been no rain. It's probably been under 5 days.
Wow.
Oh, it's just a, and it's, I would not think this is good for the farmers because they cannot get in the fields.
No.
And the weather, it hasn't been particularly warm. I mean, it's in the 70s, but not really like it should be because it's always wet.
And that's the other thing, depending on where you live, is if you, in San Antonio, very few of our homes actually have basements. But I used to live in these. But, you know, if you've got a basement of something or other, the laundry room is downstairs, you know, when the weather changes like that, even if you only do one or two loads a week or one a day, be sure and check that area that it's not moist and damp, because if it is, you've got a major problem.
You know, I have a question right off the bat, because this has been a long-term thing with me. Now, it has nothing, I don't think it has anything particularly to do with summer. But what, if you have, some places they call them fruit flies.
Yes.
And some place, but I'm not sure what they are. But these little things, you know,
yes.
I don't know what, they fly around.
No, they're fruit flies. And when I was doing my column for Good Housekeeping magazine for almost 30-something years, and one of the reader questions was that. One of my editors from New York said, well, we don't have fruit flies here. And I said, yeah, you do. Because when you bring the fruit in, particularly if you set it out, you know, apples, oranges, maybe banana, something for the kids to grab when they come home from school or they're running off to summer playtime, is the eggs are, I don't want to gross your readers, I write your listeners out, but the eggs are already on that. So when you set the bowl out and it warms up, they will hatch. Those are fruit flies.
Now, how do you get rid of them?
Well, it's two things. When you bring the fruit home, is either refrigerate, only set out four or five, go ahead and rinse them, and that'll get rid of the eggs from hatching. Then put out another bowl that's been in the refrigerator, and that usually dissuades the fruit flies from hatching. But once they're hatched and they're flying around, you've got to be careful. Not that they're dangerous or, but meaning don't spray them with insecticide.
Well, that's the thing. When they're up and flying around, how do you get rid of them?
Well, the old-fashioned fly swatter.
Just have to take them out.
Take them out. And what my mother, the original Heloise, used to do is she'd use her can of hairspray and she'd spray them.
Oh.
And it sticks their little wings together and they can't fly. I know. This is what I do.
No, that's good. She seemed like a practical woman.
She was. You know, my father was an Air Force colonel and a pilot, and we moved around. And when we lived in Hawaii, there was only one or two or three rooms that actually had a window unit for air conditioning, not the kitchen. And so you learn to adapt. And you learn what works and what doesn't work. And particularly today, you want to use something that is more earth-friendly, is safer. So she would spray them with hairspray. And I'd come home, and I'd come home from school and walk in, and I could smell the hairspray, and I'm like, oh, gosh. She's been at it again.
Well, I tell you, Heloise, it's an interesting time of year because the 4th of July, which is just right around the corner here, there are a lot of things tied up in this. It's Independence Day, but it's also become a big cookout day. It's a big beach day. Food's involved. Kids are involved. Mm-hmm. What are some hints? Let's start with the food. What should we know about the food?
You know, with 4th of July, whether you're going, your neighborhood is having a block party, you're going to the shore, the beach, the river, the lake, the main thing is to remember, keep hot foods hot and cold foods cold. So if you have two coolers, obviously one is for the cold things. But if you don't, for the hot, you can put hot foods wrapped in an ice chest. That will keep them hot. If not, you can use a cardboard box, plan ahead, save the newspapers, and you can insulate that cardboard box with stacks of newspapers on the bottom, stacks on the side. Then you put the casserole or baked beans, etc., in there. And it sort of acts as an insulation and will keep them hot.
Well, that's interesting because a lot of people, July 4th, certainly here in the Midwest and a lot of other places too, you know, it's 80, 90 degrees usually. How long can you leave a hot dish out?
There's discussion about that. The what they say is like 2 hours max, depending on the conditions. If you're at the park or something and there's direct sunlight and it's really hot, then you really probably need to watch it. If it's 2 hours is kind of the guideline, but the real hint is to, instead of making one big casserole, make 2 to 3. Divide them, make them smaller. If it's been sitting out for too long, then remove that one and replace it with a fresh one.
Well, it's interesting. How many times would you say that people do this the wrong way?
A lot.
Yeah. I would guess so.
I would, my suggestion, and I know Sharon, my executive assistant, is listening. Excuse me, I've got a little bit of a summer cold. If there's any question or any doubt, throw it out.
Well, you know, most people smell these things. And I think sometimes there is no bad smell, but it still might have went a little south of the border.
And that's why you really, it's better to do 2 or 3 smaller containers than one large one. And when in doubt, throw it out.
Now, when it comes to the cold items, how should we handle that?
Well, obviously an ice, sorry, got a little bit of a sore throat here. Obviously an ice chest, ice on the bottom. Be sure the cold item is in a zip bag or wrapped in foil, you know, and then sprinkle some ice on the top also. The less often you open it, the container, the longer the food will last.
I know a lot of people, when they do these cookouts on the 4th of July, tend to bring cool dishes because it's hot outside.
Right.
And a lot of times that can become a big problem.
It can if it, the guideline is, think in terms of if you stand out in the middle of the park or your neighbor's yard or your backyard and the direct sunlight's hitting you and you feel hot, that's a good indication.
I would think the two biggest problems on the 4th of July would probably be macaroni salad and potato salad.
Two of my faves.
Yeah. I just, because these are cool dishes,
right?
But they have a lot of items in there,
yes,
that could be problematic.
Could be. But if you keep it cool, or and an even temperature, then you're probably okay. Or one of my readers sent in a really great hint, which I thought was brilliant. I never thought of that on events like this. She would bring the macaroni salad and then the side dishes of chopped ham, peas, etc., were separate so that the guests could add their own.
Well, this is why when I'm invited to one of these cookouts, whether it's Memorial Day or 4th of July or Labor Day, what I bring, I just bring the crackers. Then I figure there's no blame coming my way.
Well, Scott, frankly, that's brilliant.
Well, see, I don't, because everybody loves crackers.
Well, they do. And so if you bring the crackers, depending on the type, you know, there's whole wheat, the regular ones, and then if you want a dip or something, set it separately, and they can put the hummus on it, they can put the blue cheese dressing, it's separate, and you don't have to worry about it.
You know what I noticed people doing? It might have been last year or a couple of years ago, but I brought the, I don't remember, it was basically the Townhouse Ritz type of cracker, and I brought those. And what I noticed people were doing, which, see, I'm not sure, this might fall more in etiquette, but they were taking the crackers, and I think because it was warm, you know, because 4th of July is interesting, because a lot of the parties sometimes start like at 4 or 5, but nobody goes home until later because of the fireworks. So the parties tend to last long. And, okay, everybody ate their dinner and they ate the meal, but this other stuff was still out on the table. So I noticed people were taking these crackers, like these Ritz crackers that I bought, and they were dipping it back into the potato salad and the macaroni salad, using it like a spoon.
Mm. Hmm.
Because I think they didn't want a whole helping.
That's okay. The only thing I would suggest food safety wise, well, no, that would probably be okay, would be to take some of the macaroni salad, the potato salad, take your crackers, and then you can dip it yourself.
Well, what I was worried about as I was watching this was, I was wondering, is there anything on the cracker that is going to get left in that bowl?
Well, that would be that. My first thought would be that would be the concern, because the crackers have usually a little bit of salt on top, depending on which type. If you dip it into the big bowl or the cracker crumbles, that is going to be left in the bowl.
And that's the, you know, potato chips face that same problem.
I know, but what is 4th of July without potato chips?
Well, that's true. Because it's one of those holidays where, you know, you don't want baked potatoes. You want easy.
You want easy, and generally you want cool or cold. So if you're going someplace, even or you're having it at your home and you're having your family is over and there are a lot of people, this is the time to invest in paper plates. They have them small and large, so they can, you can put the dip on, have a couple crackers, put it on your paper plate, maybe a couple pieces of cheese, you know, and then you're okay.
This brings up another interesting problem that people have, because they're outside and they do have paper plates, and after people eat, they throw them into the usually the garbage can that's outside, or the trash bag, or whatever people are using. But being outside this time of year, that can attract bees and wasps.
Yes.
How do you keep those things away?
Once the bag is full or half full, if it's in the a plastic garbage bag, you can spray that with wasp spray, something or other, or hairspray.
You have to stock up on the hairspray. The fruit flies, the wasps, the bees.
Yeah. Hey, honey, I'm a Texas gal, and my joke has always been, I grew up with a can of 16-ounce hairspray in my hand.
What is it in the hairspray that's such a deterrent? Just because it's sticky?
It's part of it is there's a propellant in hairspray, but it normally dissipates. It is sticky, but there's that aroma. So, or do what I do many times, or I've done, because we used to have huge parties out here. I live in the semi-country, and me being Heloise, I'd make up a couple bottles, spray bottles, that I've recycled with water, maybe a little bit of rubbing alcohol, a couple drops of clove, cinnamon. Smells good to us, but usually repels those flying pests.
And they can be a problem at this time of year.
Oh, I know.
Awful.
You talk to somebody from South Texas, and it's like, thank you for the invitation, but I think I'm leaving. Because they're attracted, too. And particularly if you're boating, whether it's, you know, a river, a lake, something or other like that, perspiration. So always pack or carry or in your tote that you're taking a handful, if not more, of the handy wipes. They're alcohol-based, and that will, because you can't really leave a picnic and go take a shower and come back, but you can step into the restroom and wipe yourself off, and that will remove the perspiration, which is an attraction to those little pesky flying things.
Now, when it comes to children, because this is a big holiday for children, they're out of school, it's a fun holiday for them, how do we keep them safe?
If you're going to an event, and without scaring them, depending on their age, you know, you explain to them, we're going to a picnic, we're going to a barbecue, we're going to an outing, so here are the three things I want you to remember. Is safety first. Always have an adult supervising the children. Two, if you've got an owie, whether it's a scratch or something or other, come to me. I'm not going to hurt you. We'll just wipe it off. And three, if you normally you keep them in eyesight, is go to another adult. And as I was explaining to Sharon, my XO, that when we lived in Arlington, Virginia, at the Buckingham Apartments, 4th of July, 3/4 of the apartment complex was military. My father was at the Pentagon. We're running around and running around, and the sparklers, and either I tripped or the kid behind me tripped. And it went down my shirt.
Mm.
Yeah, not good. But my mother had been a nurse during World War II, and she always taught me, I will have an eye on you, good or bad. Meaning, don't get into mischief, I'm looking at you. But also, if not, go to another adult. And explain what happened, and they'll take care of you. as long as they're trustworthy.
Well, it's an important thing because I hate to wake up the next morning and read all the things or hear sirens that night. That's an awful thing.
I know.
Awful thing.
And it's anything to do with barbecue, barbecue pit, fire safety is, you know, if you're barbecuing outside in your home or, some, you know, be sure that the barbecue is away from the house. By at least a couple feet, not directly underneath the roof or an overhang or the eave, because flare-ups do happen.
I think this is becoming a more common problem. Do you think it's because the grills are becoming more complicated?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, and I was thinking about it. My husband, David, is a Texas boy, San Antonio, through and through. He said, well, I'm going to go buy a barbecue, cause, another barbecue, because we're having, you know, we would have 50 to 80 people. I look up on the security camera. Oh, no. It's not just a barbecue pit. You could sleep in there.
Mm.
Humongous. One side is the smoker. The other side is the grill. I'm like, David, well, if you're going to do it, might as well do it. It's still out on our back porch.
When I go to that department in the store, I am just shocked by the elaborateness of some of these grills.
I know.
And so many fathers get these for Father's Day.
They do. And it's a good gift as long as you know the father. You know, do they grill? Is that okay? And they are elaborate today. And you have to really, really be careful of the gas ones. Where our place down at the South Texas coast, we have propane. And there's a propane tank hooked up to it. So my husband, David, who was a certified risk evaluator for the insurance industry, it's important to check all the fittings, check the hosing before you light the thing up.
Well, I would think that's true, but, you know, I just think that people get these things because they think it's a good gift and they don't know what they're doing. And the 4th of July comes a little too close to Father's Day.
Yep.
And then there's just chaos and panic and trouble by the time we get to 4th of July.
Well, it's the one of the four guidelines from me personally is, and I know it generally goes against most wisdom, but read the instruction book. It'll only take you a few minutes, page through it, and then usually in the front or the back, there are some safety hints, if you will.
Is there a good way to clean off the grill?
There is. There is. Once you've finished cooking, you know, doing your hamburgers and hot dogs and everything, while it's still warm, take a big handful of aluminum foil, and you can do the grates right then, and it'll take most of the gunk off. Caution is, do not use a wire brush. One in a million, one of the little wire things could break off.
And that could cause a whole nother set of problems.
Oh, big time. Big time. Because you can't see it. And when my husband drove in, and I'm looking at the back of the, he's pulling a trailer in this huge thing, I'm thinking, oh my gosh. But he's a safety expert. And so he knows to do that. But it's better to just at least scrape it with, or rub it with that handful of aluminum foil while it's still warm and semi-clean it off rather than have it build up.
Is there a rule when cooking meat, because a lot of people do the hamburgers and some people do barbecue,
sure,
to when this is done?
You know, it depends. It depends on what your palate is. Some people like things a little on the more pink side. Some people like it on the other side, the grill side. So it's you've just got to decide.
Now, because of fireworks and sparklers and things of that nature, there is a lot of risk involved. Are there any good safety tips when it comes to this on the 4th of July?
Well, yes. Again, children of a certain age, smaller, you know, 5 or under, 6 or 7 or under, even if you're only giving them only, quote-unquote, a sparkler, is explain to them without scaring them. Okay, here's what we're going to do. You know, I'll light it for you. I'll start it. But you stay within my vision. Do not run with this, particularly in a group of kids. Because as a young kid, I told you, you know, I had the one go down my back, and it was like, so maybe I'm a little bit overcautious.
Well, I can understand that.
Well, it taught me a great, it was painful, by the way, and thankfully I don't have a scar, but it taught me a great lesson that it's like, you just explain to them, okay, here's what we're going to do. Here are the safety things, and if you have any questions, you come to me or a trusted adult.
Now, when it comes to pets, we've got kids, we've got the food, now we've got to worry about the pets.
Well, depending on where you're going, and the main thing in summertime, a lot of people think they should shave their dogs. We had a beautiful, beautiful Kieshund or Kieshound show up and adopt us. And I had never had a long-haired dog like that. Is you want to be sure, don't shave them. It doesn't make them cooler. They can get sunburn. They really can. But if you want to, you can back brush them. Start at the tail, do a little bit at a time, and you'll see the under hair that comes out. Then they'll be okay.
Now, how do you feel about these parties, these cookouts, when they're going on, when people let their dogs run around?
It depends. If you're with family and friends and your neighbors or a neighborhood block party and everyone knows the pets and they're you know them, but explain to the children particularly, you never run up to a dog particularly, you do not know. And if you're going to pet them, don't put your hand. Now, Scott, I know this is radio, but put your hand over your eyes. That's what the dog sees. So you let them sniff you. Let them sniff your hand. Start under the chin. They'll let you know if they're comfortable. If not, that means back off.
And I think there is an epidemic in America right now of people who do not put their dogs, particularly, on leashes.
If they're walking in the park, the dog should be in a leash, depending on the park. If the dog is well trained, like I have trained all of my dogs, even the ones that have shown up, the Golden Retriever, oh God bless him, JD for John Doe, is at the very minimum, I would train them to sit, and you put two fingers out, and you lower your voice. Sit. You don't say, now sit, honey. Is the dog going to pay attention? No. So at the very minimum, you teach them to at least sit and stay the best that you can.
All I know is that I go out usually every night in the winter and in the summer, and I do about a 1 mile walk in a residential neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I have noticed, even in the winter, that people, because I guess it's their yard, I don't know, they let these dogs out, and they are not on leashes. And when the dog starts to go towards you because you are a stranger,
yeah,
they call them as if that's going to stop it.
If, and I have done heavy research into this, and I've worked with law enforcement agencies and dog trainers and things. If that happens, meaning it's like, don't run. Turn your back to them and stand still. It'll be very hard, but the dog will normally kind of like stop. But the more you run and wave your arms and scream, the more the dog is not going to stop.
It is a big problem because and I've talked to some other people about this, that there is a real risk of being bit, and that comes back on the owner, I believe.
Depends on the situation, but generally, and where you live and what your ordinance, you know, the ordinances are, yes, it can.
I don't know what that is that's possessing people, because if you do not have a big yard, you would think that, or a fence, you would think that anybody could walk up. A kid could walk up.
Yes.
Somebody might just be coming out of their house. There could be a lot of trouble here.
There could be. There could be. And that's why, again, particularly teaching your, sorry, excuse me, a summer cold, who knows, particularly teaching your children to never approach an unknown dog.
Well, and I'll tell you, here's another thing that's also, I think, escalating this problem, is when people go out to walk, a lot of times now they have their iPods or phones, so they have these earbuds in their ears. So they really can't hear the dog until it's right up on you.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's, you've got to really surveil your surroundings. And if you've got the earbuds in when you're walking like that, maybe only put one in or turn the volume down. But keep your eyes up.
Now, if you are the one throwing the 4th of July bash, what is something that you can do to really be with the theme of Independence Day?
I'm a great believer for this kind of event in the right, you know, red, white, and blue paper plates that can easily go into the garbage kind of thing, and kind of like decorate, whether it's the backyard. I've even been known to, I change out the fake flowers in the outside restroom to red, white, and blue.
It's one of those holidays where we can do that and nobody takes offense.
No, no. And if they do, we'll have it at your house the next time.
Well, that's right, because people have to learn to be a little more considerate. And that's tough now, because it seems like people's I don't know, what the their inner distributor seems to be broken.
Their inner what?
I call it a distributor.
Oh.
You know, of like bad
vibes.
Bad thoughts, bad feelings, bad words, all kinds of stuff.
And also, they may not be aware.
Well, that's why when I'm making out the list for the 4th of July get-together, I decide who's nuts before I send out the invitations.
Did you just say you decide who's nuts?
I decide who's nuts because, no, I think that it's bad.
That's priceless.
Well, you have to separate the peanuts from the cashews when it comes to these get-togethers.
Yeah.
Because you don't want the nutty people, as fun as they may be. It's okay to have the nuts over at Christmas and Thanksgiving because that's kind of a novelty.
Yeah.
But at the 4th of July, you don't want a person who's a little off out around the fireworks and the food you just don't want that. You're going to have a problem.
Well, not necessarily. I would simply say only invite 4 nuts for every 10 people.
Do you think that's enough to keep them in line?
People tend to gravitate to people who are similar. And so don't invite, as you say, 1 nut. Invite at least 2 or 3. And they'll usually cluster. Oh, God, you're so funny.
A nut cluster.
A what?
You said a nut cluster. You'll have a nut cluster.
Yeah.
At your gathering.
Well, if you've invited them, yes. But people tend to gravitate to people who are similar.
See, I make a list, and then I get out a red pen. And I just draw it right through the name. And I know to myself that yep. that person may have some kind of imbalance that's going to cause a problem.
Well, if they've been 3 or 4 times and there has not been a problem, then there's no question, invite them. If they've been 3 or 4 times and 3 out of 4, there's been a brouhaha, or something or other, you know, then either don't invite them or invite 2 or 3, and they'll cluster together.
Well, this is a sure way to get off the list of invite to the 4th of July, because if you have these people over, let's say, Memorial Day, and they're the ones who walk up and the first thing they say to you is, well, it's about time to get your yard mowed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, those people got to go.
Yeah.
You can't have them back.
No, what you say is, oh, my gosh, you're right. Would you like to mow it?
Well, that's what you do. You say the mower's over there, and you can go out, and we won't miss you because you're nuts, and you can just be mowing the yard while we all eat, and we'll save some potato salad for you.
Some potato salad that's been sitting out in the sun. For you, everyone's different, and you know, and like in every family, with a particularly extended family, you know, cousins and aunts and uncles and that kind of thing. We used to have a big family in Fort Worth. Everyone kind of knows who's a little bit off, and you know not to agitate them. Don't start a discussion about politics or religion, and if they start, just let them vent. Every psychiatrist and professional psychologist, therapist will tell you, let them vent. Many times, that's all they want. They just want to vent.
And you know what goes good with that? Earplugs for yourself. Cleans that whole thing right up. And you can do that very gently, because you say, oh, tell me about your problem. And yeah. then you say, oh, I got a little ear infection. And that's when you slip the earplugs in.
Slip the earplug in.
Earplug in, and it's all over. But these are wonderful 4th of July thoughts, I think.
Well, and look, I used to travel extensively. I've got more than a million real miles, not bonus miles, on Delta Airlines, because I traveled. I was at the airport twice a week. And you can't choose your seatmate. And you can tell when they sit down and they start going, like, disengage, disengage, disengage. And you turn around and smile. You know, excuse me, I either have work to do or I'm in the middle of reading the newspaper or something or other. But it's better to back off, let them vent.
And you don't get their name for the 4th of July barbecue. You just leave them on the plane. They can stay there. We don't need it.
One time I was on a flight, and I usually get the window seat, particularly on a long flight, you know, New York, L.A. or something or other, or a nonstop 4 to 5 hours. I always want the window seat. The first thing I do is either grab a pillow from overhead or a blanket, roll it up, and I simply turn around and say, you know, I really would love to finish this discussion, but I've got a major headache. Or I used to travel with fake earplugs, like with the Walkman or something or other. I didn't have the Walkman. I would just put them in, and the little wire would be hanging down, and I'd pull one out and say, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
That's the way to do it. Now, those are good hints for travel, to be sure. Heloise, it's always a lot of fun. I hope you have the greatest 4th of July and Independence Day, and we will talk in mid-July.
Well, my best to you and your listeners, and remember the spirit of the 4th of July.
Absolutely. Thank you, Heloise.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The one and only Heloise, Lulu Roman, we think, right around the corner.
Perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great...
Pastor Steve Whitaker, pastor at Community Christian...